Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you're listening to Black Nerds Biblecast. So, first of all, good morning, everybody. I know it's been a minute since I recorded. There's been so much going on in the world today, of course, some pandemic that we are now experiencing, going through unprecedented time in our lives, right? Yeah, so in the midst of this recording, I was beginning to talk about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches and being just all a part of this, right? Understand this, that even in the midst of us going through the problems that we're going through, the situations that we are now experiencing in our world, basically, that, you know, Christ is still there and we are still committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Again, you're trying to find some good news, right? In the midst of what's going on. I know that it's challenging. I know it's challenging being quarantined, maybe in your home. Maybe you're one that's staying in home inside and never been, you know, in such a tight, situation now. And, It's pretty rough, guys. I have to admit myself. I'm not telling you anything that that I don't feel the same way. You know, just having to be careful about where you're going and who you contact and being in contact with people in general. This is something that I will admit I have never experienced this in my entire life. And so with that being said, I think that this is a time that we need to be prayerful. We need to be not fearful. Okay, we shouldn't be fearful. And the reason why we shouldn't be fearful is because if you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and you are doing the things that you're doing anyway, as far as living according to God's will, you shouldn't be fearful, because here's one of two things, basically. One, yes, you know, Christ tells us that we're not to have a spirit of fear. Okay, not to say that we're not going to be concerned or worried. Sometimes even God doesn't want us to worry either. But anytime you feel fearful and anytime you feel worried, guys, pray. Okay, pray. In other words, it's not a sin. It's not showing that you're being doubtful if you bring your concerns to the Lord. Okay, this is a great time to talk to the Lord, to have the concerns and things that you have to the Lord. It's a great time to communicate with God. Okay, so don't ever feel like you're bothering Him. He's ready to hear your prayers. Okay. So I don't know who that was for, but maybe somebody was listening to this and thinking that, I'm kind of nervous and scared about what's going on. It's okay. You know, I will say this, if you're watching the news a lot, kind of taper off from the news. Okay. The news is okay. I mean, yes, we need to hear the news, find out what's going on, but you know what? What you feed in your body or your mind or your spirit, okay, will continue on throughout the day, throughout the week. Sometimes at night, you're just constantly going and thinking about every bad thing that's happening in the world. Yes, we're losing lives. Yes, people are getting sick. Yes, it's lots of pressure and stress going on in our world right now. But the more you focus on the bad things, how does that make you feel? That's going to continue to bring anxiety and undue stress. So, am I saying not to watch the news? I would say limit the amount of news intake that you're taking in, and limit the amount of what you're watching, okay? Because what would that do? That will make you so more anxiety filled, fearful, concerned, things like that. Am I saying we shouldn't be concerned? Yes, but be smart, be more in tune, but be like, other words, just be more like mindful that God is in control, and He is. It's not just a saying. It's not just what people say. He truly is in control. He truly is on the throne. He truly does know exactly what's going on in our life, okay? So I want you guys to just try to focus on God. This is a moment in time that we can pray more, we can read more, we can talk to God more, okay? And you know what? Think of others. Encourage someone. Call somebody up. Talk with them. Talk about things that are not so much according to what is going on in our world today. If somebody wants to bring it up, listen to them, and maybe make some comments or some suggestions as well. But everyone needs to hold someone's hand around this time, right? This is a truly challenging time. So I'm not telling you not to think of the reality of this situation, but through every situation, just like if we are in our daily lives, this is a time in where we need to lean on Christ. We need to lean on the Lord. We need to lean on each other. All right. All right. Listen, I got a great Bible verse or a passage out of, I want to say John 15, called the Jesus as being the vine. And it's a great passage that we read. Hope you like it. Hope you enjoy it and just get something out of it. So why don't you open your Bibles to John 15. We're going to be going through that and talking a little bit about us being the branches and Jesus being the vine. And again, hopefully we get something out of it. And hey, you know what? I'll talk to you soon. Sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Black Nurse Biblecast. Hey, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to read a very popular passage in the Bible out of John 15. And this is entitled Jesus, the True Vine. Okay. And I'm going to start. We're just going to read through this real quick. And we may commentate a little bit about it. But it starts off. It says, I am the true vine, true grapevine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. For I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for you using my name. This is my command. Love each other. So we notice here in this passage, we notice in John 15, we notice he describes himself as the vine. He's the grapevine. And we're talking about Jesus Christ. He also describes the Father, which is Father God, as the gardener. So he's the one, God himself is the one that, according to this parable he's teaching here, is that God is the one that, as we grow in Christ, as we grow in Christ, he begins to prune us. He begins to prune us so that we can produce more fruit. So what does that look like practically in our lives as far as we're growing as Christians? Now, I remember in some episodes, I've described how life is not perfect. And I also described how, even though you were saved and we accepted Jesus Christ as our salvation, there's points in our lives where life becomes challenging. So just because you go to church and read your Bible and do all the things that you're doing, it doesn't mean that doesn't change life for being imperfect. It doesn't change the way circumstances will affect us. We continue to go through some sort of challenges, but a lot of times it's always, the challenges help us to grow, help us to get closer to the Lord, help us to pray more, help us to press in more into God's word. So these things that we're discovering as far as the Father, pruning us and to produce more fruit. And what is the fruit? A lot of times, and not to be too spiritual about it, but to produce fruit in this sense is also to build character. A lot of times we come to Christ and we're pretty raw. That means that we don't have patience. We don't have sincerity. We're not truthful. We come with all kinds of bad habits. We come with our own humanity. We come with the way that we are. Okay. And remember, that doesn't take away the fact that God says, come as you are. We are to come as we are, and God accepts us that way. He actually brings us, we actually are accepted into God's kingdom that way. But what does it mean? In other words, God says, I'll bring you in as you are, but I'm going to change you. In other words, he's not going to leave you the same. And so as circumstances happen in life, and sometimes he does it through circumstances, but sometimes the more we devote ourselves and our lives to him, we begin to change. And what does that look like? We begin to not only produce fruit, which is producing character, making us basically chipping away. Sometimes you feel like your personality may be the same, but the way you respond to things, the way your response is to circumstances is different, more godly, like more, more Christ like, in other words. Okay. How was Christ's response? Okay. Christ's response was not always, in a way of reactionary. Okay. He was very discerning when it came to certain things. Now, am I saying that you will have identically the way the type of experiences that say Christ had? No. We all, as we're going through life, we all have different experiences, life experiences. Sometimes we have good experiences, sometimes we have bad experiences. And these are things, with the sake of just being more detailed, maybe you're wondering what kind of experiences. Well, the experiences, it all depends on how old you are now. Sometimes you might be a younger person. Maybe you are a teenager. Maybe you are a young man or young woman, and you are probably either just now experiencing life, or maybe coming out of college or high school, and you're going through grade school and you're still living at home. Maybe you're one that is experiencing peer pressure, you know, meaning that all your friends and people that you're around all are one way and you're different. Maybe you just started going to church and others don't. Maybe you started believing in the Lord and others really don't believe in God. Okay. And so that does right there produces a set of challenges and a set of things, experiences that you will experience, being that you are different now. You're different than the ones that you hang around with. Maybe you're a worker, or maybe someone that either goes to work, or maybe you're just one in your family that, you know, you went to church and start going to church and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody in your household is not saved. They're not a Christian. They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They're not interested in the Bible. So that produces a set of experiences. The mere fact that you are different from them will produce a different type of experience for you. Now, where does this fit into the overall thing that we're reading about Jesus being, in other words, you being engrafted or being in a part of Jesus Christ? Well, because you being a part of Christ will begin to change you. Your character will begin to change. The way you do things will begin to change. Okay. And again, it varies on different experiences that you will have. I will kind of stray away from getting more detailed about it because everyone is different. You're going to be different. I'm going to be different, you know, but what will make us the same is that when we become children of God, we become to look more like Jesus Christ. Okay. And this is where we want to talk about when it says that God is the gardener. Okay. Imagine that. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce more fruit. I wanted us to focus on the attention here that, in other words, he prunes you, to bear more fruit. And so when you bearing fruit, that means your kindness, loving kindness, patience, long suffering, those things like that, forgiveness. Okay. Maybe you're one that you're learning how to forgive. You're learning how to get past things that someone has maybe done to you, and you begin to walk in forgiveness. Maybe you're one that used to, really respond out of anger and hatred, and you're starting to walk in more kindness and more loving kindness in a way. Okay. And I'm not saying that you're being a doormat. No, I don't want somebody that's out there to think that you're being a doormat. No, you are being more like Christ. You're not responding in a way that is full of anger or full of cursing or full of things like that. Maybe you have some habits, and I'll just be honest with you. Maybe you have some habits that you're trying to get rid of. Maybe sexual habits, maybe some truth-telling habits, like lying habits. Maybe you are a violent person. Maybe you are one who has habits of drugs, alcohol. Maybe you're older, maybe you're younger. But these things that God is doing to try to produce more fruit in you so that you can become more like him. Okay. And as you're going through these experiences, you're going to experience a pruning from the Father, a pruning. In other words, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have temptations. You're going to have all these things that God is, a lot of times God doesn't intervene in our experiences. Sometimes he just allows certain things to happen so that we can begin to produce more fruit, more character in our lives. Okay. It says you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. This is in verse 3. Verse 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. Remember here, Jesus is divine, okay? And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, during this journey, we have to remember as Christians, maybe you're a new believer listening to this, but it is very important at this point that it says here in verse 5, it says that he is the vine, okay? You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This means to abide in Christ. That means to be a part of him. That means to live your life dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning or every day, every waking day, as you wake up and you go about your day, throughout your day, we are going throughout our day, okay, going through work, going to raising a family, having these responsibilities. But know this that, again, we are a part of Christ. We are abiding in Christ. Christ is working through us. He's working in us. We are in him. He is in us. You notice how the intimacy here is, him being the vine and we are the branches. And can I imagine one of the things I would say, imagine a set of grapes. Grapes have what you call, when you go to the store and you buy these grapes, they have one thick vine down the middle and they have these other little small they're considered branches, but if you notice at the end of those branches, there's fruit. There is a grape. You notice that? That grape is the fruit that you're bearing. In other words, that grape is the result of you being in the vine or connected to Jesus Christ. Those, in other words, when you pull that fruit, okay, let's say, for instance, we don't get them from the store, but we're in a vineyard where grapes are being grown, then they produce even more. They produce even more fruit. Or if you're in an orchard or a fruit tree, they begin to pull from that vine, or the tomatoes even. I'm thinking of tomatoes. Sometimes you pull from that and certain things, the branches are pruned so that they can produce more. Okay. So here we're talking about producing character in you. Purifying you, bringing you closer, making you look more having the same characteristics as Christ Jesus. Amen. So remember this. He says here, which is really important in verse 5, from apart from me, you can do nothing. That means that doesn't mean that you can't do nothing in life, but you cannot do nothing that is according to God and it's pleasing to the Lord without being in Christ. Okay. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Okay. Such branches are gathered into the pile to be burned. Now I know some people may think of this as, being a Christian, and maybe at some point, you stop being a Christian and all of a sudden this means that you go to hell. Okay, I would not say that this is correct, but I do say this, according to your life, even as a Christian, if you decide that, for whatever reason that you're just going to live your life, you're not going to produce any fruit, you're going to be back the same way you used to be, guess what? Yeah, you will wither away and God will throw those branches away, not being used. Okay, now, am I saying that you're going to go to hell? Maybe not. Okay. But it does say here that this is, in other words, you have no longer use of you. Now, he goes on to say in verse 7, he says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. Okay. Now, this here, I was really intrigued by this here, but it also means that anything you ask according to God's will, that it's going to be granted to you. In other words, there's no request that you'll make or I will make that is not according to the will of God. Okay. How does that happen? Because first of all, even though we have our own will, but a lot of it, part of it, our will becomes, I want to please God more. I want to please God more. I want to be more pleasing to the Lord. I want to do the things that pleases God. It goes from pleasing yourself to pleasing the Lord. Okay. In verse 8, it says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. In other words, the more you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you're obedient to Christ as you walk this life, you produce more fruit, that you become more his disciples. What is disciples? One that follows Christ and is obedient to Christ through obedient to God through Jesus Christ. In other words, people look at you and they see such an example as you walking to the glory of God. Okay. Now you notice here, it says half of that sentence says this brings great glory to my Father. Now he goes on in verse 9, it says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. So he's saying that he loves you just as much as the Father has loved him. That love is passed on to us. Remain in my love, he says. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Okay, so obedience and love is really in hand in hand. If you love, now husbands, if you love your wife, right, you're not going to do things that are being disrespectful of her. You're not going to do things that will be offensive to her. You're going to be committed and you're going to be obedient in a lot of ways. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that obedience is just, I'm going to do what is right. What is right according. Same way, if you love like children, if you love your parents, when they ask you to do something that is right, that is according to what is right things to do, you're going to be obedient. You're not going to be disobedient children. Okay. The same thing it is. So when you obey God's commands, you are also showing and displaying that you love him. Okay, so it says here, it says, as he obeys his Father's commands, it says, and remain in his love. Now, verse 11, it says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my command. Now, here's where it ties it all up together. This is my command. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Verse 13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now, again, this is really he's really zeroing in on the main point of this entire thing about him, about the Father being the gardener, about you being the branch and Jesus being the vine. In other words, if you remain in him, he in you, then guess what? You are his friends. You will obey him. Things that the benefit is that anything you ask will be according to God's will. You will not be separated. You'll be right connected to the vine. I'm going to tell you, is no greater thing in the Christian walk as that is to be connected divinely with Jesus Christ, connected in your walk with the Lord, connected in ways that as you walk in an imperfect world, in a sinful world, in a challenging world, that you remain in Christ Jesus the entire time. Am I saying that you will be perfect? No. Am I saying that you won't make mistakes? No. But I am saying that as you begin to walk this life, you will become more and more in tune to what God wants you to do as long as you remain in Christ Jesus. That means as long as you waking up, committing your life, you're devoting your life to Christ. Christ is first and he's the first and foremost in your life. He's the one and only in your life. In other words, compare this to a commitment commitment that you are making to your spouse. Okay. Compare this to as you're getting married. No one is unfaithful to their husband. No one's unfaithful to their wife. At least they're not supposed to be. So compare this to you being fully committed to God, okay, and understanding where Christ fits in. Christ is the way through other words, Christ is the way to God. In other words, your relationship and your walk is with God. In other words, how are you connected to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Christ himself. He laid down his life for us. He did this through love. He did this because God loved us so much that he loved, and the same love that he has for his son, he has love for us. Okay. So that is what holds everything together. And as he loved us, guess what? Christ here is teaching. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. He says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Now at this point, we can read here that he is talking to the men that have followed him throughout his ministerial life. As he began to minister and he began to talk about the kingdom of God, these men began to understand and get closer to him as a teacher. He begins to tell them, remember, I am here with you. He says, now the transition of his position with them is not so much as a master and them being slaves, but now he's saying, you are my friends if you do what I ask you to do. If you do what I ask you to do. Now I'm going to close this out. It says here in verse 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is verse 17 closes out by saying, this is my command. Love each other. So what are we saying here ultimately in this verse, in chapter 15? So understand the walk with Christ. Understand that, you know, when we come to the Lord, again, we're dependent on Christ. We're dependent on him. Okay. We cannot, like it says, we cannot do nothing that is pleasing to the Lord unless we are connected to Christ. We also see how important Christ's role is in our lives. Okay. Remember that. So there are sometimes people will believe or want you to believe that you can go to God without Christ. No, Christ is a central figure in your walk with the Lord. He is the one that has sacrificed his life for us and sacrificed his life for just our sin of humanity. And we, according to God, he sees Christ. He sees Christ's blood. He sees Christ's sacrifice on us. So it is important and imperative that as you begin your journey with Christ, as we understand and walking, actually reading Christ's journey to the cross, this was a pivotal point in the disciples', basically disciples' journey with Christ, actually, as before he went to the cross and he begins to talk to them about the position of himself as being the vine and them being the branches and how everything is connected. We're together. Okay. Remember that you are together with Christ. Christ is together with you. You're not left alone. You're not by yourself. And Christ wants you to understand that today. So if you're living this life, you walk in this life as a Christian, you feel like you're alone. Guess what? You're not alone. You was never alone. Okay. So just be encouraged by that today. Be encouraged by the fact that, you know, as we walk with, according to the Lord, and you know, you want to know, okay, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? Some of you may have doubts, but you know what? Part of the Christian walk is walking with faith, understanding that according to Christ, according to His Word, that we are to walk with the Lord throughout our entire life. And as we do that, the fruit that it produces, not just in your life, but also, you know, indirectly by through the lives of others, as people begin to interact with you, begin to see your life change, you know, you become a changed person. Okay. The longer that you are abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in you, you can't help but produce the fruit that God is looking for in your life. Remember, you want to be a fruit bearer. You want to be a branch that produces fruit. And there are going to be some challenging times. There's going to be times where it's going to challenge your patience. It's going to challenge your commitment. It's going to challenge a lot of things. And remember that is what you call the pruning. In other words, yes, you reach a certain level of commitment. You're doing well, but guess what? When you encounter situations and challenges in your life, doesn't mean that God is punishing you. God is always challenging us to come closer, to produce more fruit, to begin to produce more of His character in you. Okay. And that's all that means. Doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. Doesn't mean that somebody is, God is mad at you. No, you know, it just simply means that as you're growing in the Lord, there's going to be life. It's almost like when you, matter of fact, it's almost like when you working out and you're going to the gym and you're trying to develop muscle. You're trying to develop a more toner body. What do? You go to the gym, you hit them weights, and the weights start to begin to challenge your body to produce even more muscle, right? That muscle, you start to go to the gym and certain things begin to hurt that you never experienced before, right? Some of us that haven't been to the gym in a while, okay, me included. But remember that, though, we're producing more results. So that's what it really comes down to. So remember that. I want you guys to be encouraged. We're getting so close to Easter now. We're right around the corner, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about the resurrection or the death of Christ, and then into the resurrection of Christ. And we're beginning to understand and see how much Christ truly loved us. Truly, his life was committed to coming into the world the way He was and dying for us. He came and lived His life in order to die on the cross. Okay. And we're going to begin to read more, as we get closer now, to the fact that, you know, how important that the crucifixion of Christ is to us, to you and for me and to the entire world. Okay. So I'm really glad you stopped by. Just bear with me. I've been so entirely busy with a lot of things. We have a lot going on also because of the changes in schedule and everything else. My work schedule has been changed now. So just continue to just kind of bear with me as I continue these recordings. I will try to get more out right before Easter comes in, where, like I said, it's a few days away. We're actually now on the week of what they consider Holy Week. So, please begin to just pray to the Lord. And I'm just so thankful, actually, about people who are, or ministers and churches that are actually live streaming their events on YouTube or Facebook Live and other ways that they're doing them, because of the social distancing that we have to have. This is really the first year in my lifetime that we are now embracing a different way of how to interact with church, have church worship and things like that. And, you know, just because you are distant from your pastor or your congregation doesn't mean that you are distant in the spirit. Okay, being distant in the spirit is not the same. You can still enjoy the message. You can still enjoy the preaching and the teaching of your pastor. Enjoy the congregation through the spirit of the Lord. You guys can do even a FaceTime with your other members or through the phone or through your computer. You can do that, or you can call one another and have a conference call and just all begin to come together and pray. This is a great time right now, believe it or not. I'm not saying that the circumstance is great, no, but it is through the midst of a horrible situation and circumstance that we can come together and we can use this opportunity to pray, and we can use this opportunity to link up and to experience the power of prayer and the power of Christ through the midst of a circumstance that is devastating right now. Continue to pray for those that are not only in the hospitals, but the loved ones, the people have lost loved ones all over the world right now. We're experiencing a time like no other right now. And this is out of every time that I've ever been born, any year that I've lived so far, I've never ever experienced a time like this. And some of you are to feel the same way. Okay. This is a time that is unprecedented. Okay. And you know something? God sees everything. There is nothing that he's unaware of. There is nothing that he's not concerned about. He sees every single situation and circumstance that is going on. He understands the coronavirus better than we do. There is things that we don't understand and will not understand. But in the midst of that, continue to do what the law says do. Your government, your medical facilities pray for them, but also listen to their advice. Okay. That means making sure you're sanitized and wash your hands. Don't touch your face, like they say. Wear a mask if you have to go out. But if they're telling you to stay in the house, you know, this is the safest place. This is the safest place, but even more safer than being in the house is being in Christ. So if you're one that just unfortunately you get sick, remember, be in Christ Jesus, be in his will, his love, and remember that it's so important that throughout your life that you commit your heart and your mind and your life to Christ Jesus. It's very important at this time now that we're living not only in the last days, but we're living even closer, not only to the coming of Christ, but maybe you never know when you will meet Christ, when I will meet Christ. This may be my last recording. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm telling you, we never know the time or day when that hour comes that we will end up meeting God face to face. Okay. It's very, very important that throughout your entire journey that you commit your heart, your love, your life to Jesus Christ. That is one of the most important decisions that you can make in your life. And that is a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, to commit. And I'm not talking about just going as a commitment to go to church. We can all go to church. We can all read our Bible. We can all pray. But let's dive in deeper and say, what does it mean to follow Christ? We've read that now as far as being in the will of God. Okay. Christ being the vine and we are the branches and producing fruit. Now there's so much more, but this is one of the main things that you and I can be according to our believers and in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross was not a small payment. It was a huge payment. It was a payment, not just when it comes to his physical death, but also his spiritual separation from God, when it comes to becoming sin and him being separated from the Father. Remember that, folks. This was not just a small thing that Christ Jesus made. And we'll discover that as we continue on, okay? But in the meantime, I want you guys to really be blessed. Think really more solemnly this week about what it means for Christ had to have sacrificed his life for us, what it meant. This is a very important week. Yes, we're going through a lot right now in our world, but also this is still, regardless of whether it's the pandemic going on or not, this is still Holy Week. This is still a time of remembrance that Christ suffered, even though we may feel like we're suffering, but Christ suffered even greater. Okay. And again, I love you guys. Stay safe, stay focused. And until next time, God willing, I'll be back with another recording and we'll talk about it as we get closer and closer to the crucifixion, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll be talking to you soon. God bless everybody.